This is the Geek Improvement Podcast. Tune in. Geek out.
Welcome to the Geek Improvement Podcast, the official podcast of geekimprovement.com, helping you keep track of and find the things you geek out about. Although we haven't launched yet, we're taking signups for our private beta. Just visit geekimprovement.com, plug in your email, and we'll let you know as soon as we're ready. I'm Alexis Santos, and joining me here, to my right this time, the chair to the left, I don't know, he didn't like it. He likes the drolly chairs, is Zach Erickson.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's a, like the nice cushy chair on the other side, and then there's like the nice soft one.
I mean, you know, we had to move it to the lounge, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, you know, it works. It's funny that actually there's in the lab that I work at school. This is totally random and off topic already, but there's
please,
this chair.
Continue.
There's this chair. You know, it's like a lean back chair, but it's like a trick chair where it probably goes almost 90 degrees backwards. I'd say probably like a 70 degree angle backwards. So you go to lean back on it, and you're like, whoa, almost all the way back. So not that that has anything to do with that, but yeah, I'm excited to be here. Good times. Yeah, we're a couple days late, but that's because my life was crazy. So
oh, don't
okay.
worry, your life seemed to sync up with mine as well, because mine was extra crazy as well. So things yeah. work out.
Absolutely.
Though I was very busy last week and this week, I did manage to squeeze into some time to see that new Miyazaki film, The Secret World of Arrietty. So I guess we will move
How
into
was it?
Our geek
yeah.
homework now. It's hard to compare to Totoro and Kiki's Delivery Service. Because, you know, the nostalgia, because I used to watch these when I was six, and I could watch these movies over and over, and they'd never get old. However, you know, watching a new Miyazaki film for the first time when I'm now 21, going on 22, it's, 21 going on 23, of course, that makes sense. But,
you are 21 going on 22.
Oh no, the Sound of Music, don't get me started. I won't be able to stop singing. And sorry, you guys do not want that. I'll break your speakers. But it had all the classic hallmarks of a Miyazaki film. I mean, what struck me the most is the consistency of the animation. It all looks the same, practically. Like, all the... One thing I bet you noticed in Totoro were the facial expressions. Like, for example, the kid that, I guess, mm-hmm. kind of had a crush on the girl slash was afraid of her.
Yeah, there was about three or four expressions, and that was it, right?
Yeah, with, like, the huge eyes and the... That happened yeah. in this movie, and I was like, oh, that's the same expression for this. And, like, this mm-hmm. weird, like, smile that takes up half of the face. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's this thing. But
it was very cool.
Yeah. I mean, to give a quick synopsis, it's, there are these things, these little people, maybe about 8 inches
tall. Not to
tall.
Be confused with midgets. It's different.
Well, these are ELLs, extremely little, or ELPs, extremely okay. little people. They're about 8 inches tall, and they live inside this house, like in the basement, and they borrow things. Actually, in Japan, good friend Sean Buckley says that they called this the borrowers in Japan because they used to, or they
I
go
think there's and, actually isn't there actually a book that this is based on called the
in,
borrowers
in fact it is so they go okay. out into the house and, you know, they borrow like sugar and they take it back to use in their house, and they borrow toilet paper, and, you know, it's chronicling their adventures in the house, and then a boy who moves in there finds them, and, you know, it's this whole thing, oh no, we've been discovered, what do we do now? So it's a great concept for to get kids interested in this movie. And, you know, I was entertained, but I'm not sure it's a movie that I'd watch over and over again just like Totoro. It might have been one of those things that it's amazing.
You know, I think if you were to go back and watch Totoro now, I think it would probably be a pretty similar experience.
Honestly, I
yeah,
watched
I went I actually uh-huh. went and listened or I went and watched this. I watched Totoro because mm-hmm. that was the one that I I kind of looked around at some of the other ones, and this was the one that kind of caught my eye the most, mostly just because, you know, like a big, huge
cat thing,
monster looking thing. Yeah. Looked really cool. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I watched it, and right away, one of the very first things, and I don't know if this is consistent over all the Miyazaki films, I kind of wish I would have seen both, like we would have both seen both or something. But anyway, it's just that the freaking detail in the background and like
amazing.
It's you like don't a, see that you don't see that kind of artwork.
It's a painting come alive.
Yeah, like was Arrietty like this as well?
Exactly, and that's one of the, actually that's the first thing I noticed. I'm like, wow, I forgot, you know, how stunning this looks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really, really great. Just visually amazing, right? The animation is pretty characteristic of anime. Like it's actually better than some of it. And some of the voiceover was okay. It was some of the better anime that I'd seen.
Yeah,
that I've seen. You know, it's in fact I would say as far as animation and just visually, it's incredible. But the thing is too that really at least with Air or with Totoro, what reminded me, I spent 2 years in the Philippines, it was like the rural part of the Philippines. And so a lot of the setting that it was in, I was like, oh man, this is awesome. Because I walked around in rice fields, but along like the little.
Yeah. I ruined crops and ate some rice. Yeah. It was.
We walked, you know, like on the little paths and stuff. Uh-huh. So like the setting and everything was just, reminded me of the Philippines like crazy. It was awesome. And so that was really cool. But it was funny because I don't know what I was expecting the movie to be about.
And the story? Yeah.
Yeah, at the end of like the story, I was like, oh, so it's about little girls and their sick mom. The end. Like nothing really happens in the movie.
Actually, you know, there's a sick boy in Arrietty too, maybe. Maybe yeah, Miyazaki's like trying to deal with something in his childhood.
Yeah, exactly. Like it seems like these films, Miyazaki, right?
Yeah.
It like I don't know if all of his films are like this, but it's just like this sort of character piece where it's like this character, these two little girls are helped through a difficult time by these forced spirits, yeah. Right? And probably like one thing that really weirded me out. Too was in the movie. There's Totoro and there's like the little Totoros or whatever.
I know it's
and
coming.
And then there's this bus. The first time I saw it, I was like, "Wow, this is really weird." Okay, and it's a huge cat it's like a cat centipede sort of thing. It's got legs all the way down the side.
It's so awesome. I was fascinated by that thing.
It was so weird. I was like, "What?" What is this? Weird cat with like glowing eyes for headlights.
And he somehow has that sign that changes. I don't know if that's like.
The classic like bus rotating sign thing.
And that's all part of him too. I wonder if he has cup holders.
Yeah. Well, like it was like they walk in, it's like the cushy like ground and soft stuff.
And like the door just like molds open.
Yeah, opens up, right? And I was like, wow, weird. It was so weird. I was not prepared for that at all, especially since so far all it had been up until that point was, oh, this is Totoro. This really, like if an ent was transported into a giant teddy bear, then this is what this would act like, right? Or a giant cat.
Yeah.
And then like, Totoro never actually gets like his big moment was my big beef of the film is that he never gets his big moment. They go,
what
the girl, at,
uh-huh.
Right. The big moment and the big payoff goes to the cat bus, right? Where the cat bus at the end of the movie is the one that helps out the girls and Totoro doesn't actually do anything. He's just like, oh, and he like screams and then the cat bus shows up. And anyways,
well, I think to curry the favor of the cat bus, you must go through Totoro.
Yeah, Totoro is like
the gatekeeper.
The boss man, right?
Yeah.
And then the cat bus shows up and it was really cool. Like I probably sound like I'm getting on the movie's case too much. I actually really enjoyed the movie. It was something that I've never even seen before. You know, it was totally different. It felt like I was experiencing part of a culture that I didn't fully understand at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like it was just rich with Japanese culture and Japanese mannerisms and Japanese sensibilities that I couldn't completely relate to. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Not only anyway. That, but I'm guessing it's targeted for a younger audience. And, like, if you had been 6 or 7 when you had first watched it, it'd be, you know, like myself, where you could watch it over and over. And Kiki's Delivery Service, less Totoro kind of out there, but still pretty good. Now, did you watch this with your son?
No, I didn't. Okay. He's a little bit too young for movies. So he's still like, give me the remote so that I can press the buttons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, he's a little too young for that still. But
one last thing I want to say about Arrietty is that I noticed when I was sitting in the theater, I don't know if it was where I was sitting, because I was the first person in there, so I went, I beelined to the back, and you know that there's never a seat in the middle of the theater, you know, that's exactly in the middle of the screen, mm-hmm. except for the one in the back row that's, like, just perfect, because they can, like, fit chairs wall to wall instead of compensating for a rows or whatever.
Right,
so yeah. I sat there, and what I noticed about the sound in Arrietty was that it had fantastic surround sound.
Oh,
like,
cool.
You could hear something in, like, right behind you and off to your right and to your left, and it was really good. I'm like, man, that's fantastic. And then when the credits were rolling, I noticed that Lucas sound effects, you know, the folks over like Skywalker Ranch were doing the sound for this thing.
Oh, cool.
So that was pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. I don't know. The sound was pretty, it was funny because part of Totoro too is, I mean, when did this movie come out? Like 20 years ago, if not more.
Yeah.
And so, and there's, it was also funny, I was taking a few notes when I was watching it, and I was like, oh, not one of these movies where they show the freaking credits at the beginning, right? And they have this
and the long,
drawn-out song.
Oh, they did that here, too. I could, yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, so they did that in this one. Okay.
Yeah.
So it was actually, okay. Well, that's, anyway, I enjoyed it. I don't know if I would watch it again, but for a one-time deal, it's a good experience. If you've never seen an Arrietty or a Miyazaki film before, I would suggest at least experiencing it.
Yeah. And there are there are two versions of the Totoro dub, one made by Disney and one made by something else. I'm never quite sure which one I watched.
I think the one that I watched had it, actually the credits said Dakota Fanning in it.
Yeah, that's the newer one then, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it was pretty good. Pretty good dub. No complaints there.
All right, enough Miyazaki.
Movie Geek.
However, still more films.
Oh, yeah.
Zach, it seems that some sort of Comic-Con thing has appeared on your radar.
Yes. Now, have you seen, what are the two movies that he's, have you seen Super Size Me?
I have not, no.
Okay, if you ever, you'll never go to McDonald's again if you actually watch that. Anyways, it's by a guy named Morgan Spurlock.
Mm-hmm.
He's also the one who more recently released a movie, I think it's, I can't remember exactly what it's called, it's like Palm Wonderful Presents the Most Expensive Movie Ever Sold or something like that. It's basically about, the entire purpose of the movie was, I am going to fund an entire documentary about product placement through product placement. So he's like, that's why it's called Palm Wonderful Presents, because he basically just goes like from business to business saying, how much will you pay me to have your company's name in the title of the movie? And they paid him like $1 million to do it.
I need to do that.
Yeah, and he's,
let's
like,
do it with the podcast.
Yeah, it's totally just like, okay, like, I haven't seen it, but just even, you just watch the trailer, and there's so many different product placements even in the trailer. But he's a really funny, he's a very good documentary person, but he's also very sarcastic, mm-hmm. I guess. So then enter in this week, a movie trailer comes out and a poster for Comic-Con Episode 4, which is a documentary about Comic-Con. And you watched the trailer, right?
I did, in fact, watch the trailer. It seems it seems like it put
our
how we struggled to explain why these geek conventions are so awesome into a video, you know, into a documentary. And it shows a lot of
It seems like, that's the thing, like, a lot of people online are kind of, people are kind of two minds about this, like, oh man, like, the trailer makes it look great, but, you know, it's just really explaining geek culture, but at the same time, you're like, hang on, is like, this is coming from Morgan Spurlock, and he's not actually in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
It says that he directed it. And so there are some people who are a little bit worried that it may be more of like a, hey, look at these freak shows, you know, at yeah. Comic-Con, and versus an actual, because the trailer actually shows like Kevin Smith, right?
Yeah, and he's talking, and you know,
yeah, he's talking a lot. So it says they've got Stan Lee in there, they've got Joss Whedon in there, so a lot of geek culture.
And I believe Joss Whedon was a writer too for this. So
yeah, so like it should be pretty good. But I don't know. There are people out there who are saying, "Oh crap, what if this is making fun of us as a geek community?"
At any rate, which I'm not ashamed.
No, I'm not either. Absolutely, but. I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see where this goes. Shoot, I don't have the release date in front of me here.
Which is kind of unfortunate. I believe on iTunes, you know, on Apple's website, it has April 4th or April 6th. However,
pretty quick.
Yeah, I did some digging, though, because I wanted to see, is this available for download now? Can I buy it somewhere? And apparently it's been canceled, or they had some sort of tour that they were going to go.
Really?
Yeah, they had some tour that they were going to go around to, like, Orlando, of all places, which I would have gone to, Atlanta, someplace in California, I believe New York, like five or six places, and, like, screen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the one in Orlando was at the University of Central Florida, and that was coming up, I believe, March 6th or March 7th. But mm-hmm. After some digging, I found out that the tour has been canceled. I'm not sure why. I'm really? Quoting from comicsbeat.com. They said, quote, "We tried to check out the film's website for clues, but it doesn't have a website. More curious is that we imagine someone, maybe from the production company, will be along to explain shortly." And then they gave an update saying one of the Beats, which is another website, Secret Operatives, has had this confirmation from the production thing, so there's indeed no tour. So I guess it'll still come out on time in April.
Yeah, like they do have a website. I don't know where they're getting that they don't. It's comicconmovie.com.
Oh.
Just yeah. So I actually saw it too in the comments below. It says that there actually is a website. And it's just like a basic website. It doesn't say when it's coming out, though, again. So if I missed it in – yeah, I don't know. They're going to do – like I think, you know, they'll do a small tour of the movie and see how things go. And it may just be a limited release with an eventual release to online, to video, or to iTunes at the very least. So.
Yeah, hey, Spurlock, if you're listening, I'll throw some money at you. So get this thing out. There you go.
Yeah, I don't know. I really liked Super Size Me because he's just he's a funny guy too. Like he's actually enjoyable to watch on screen and stuff like that. So yeah, I would say it's definitely something to look forward to, although some people are a little bit nervous about it. So
and of course, we'll let you know when it comes out.
Indeed.
And next on our movie docket is the Avengers trailer, which highlights more of the team than just, oh no, bad guys, and hey look, we're together.
Yeah, because up until now, like this is kind of more what people actually were expecting from an Avengers movie, right? Yeah. Is they want to know what the interaction between the characters is going to be. And this new trailer, like they did come out with the what was it, the Super Bowl commercial thing or whatever, but this is the first time that we really get an idea of the character dimensions or character dynamics. Not the dimensions. Yeah, you know, Iron Man is going to be approximately 6'4". You know, anyway.
For a second there, I thought you were going to say dementia.
Yeah, the character dementia. But yeah, like the trailer. What did you think of the trailer?
I really liked it. Like you said, it gives more depth to the characters. Two things that really stuck out to me were the Hulk. Iron Man was like crashing and falling, and then the Hulk comes and saves him, and then the back and forth between the characters, you know, the a little bit of the dialogue or whatever.
Yeah, like it seems like there's going to be a pretty big scene where Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man are all kind of like
fight.
It's kind of like all three of them kind of fighting each other and stuff. Yeah. And I haven't read a ton of stuff of the Avengers in the comic books and stuff, but what I have read, there's always been that conflict, especially between Steve Rogers and Tony Stark, you know, like there's that conflict between those two. And then Thor, you can imagine, you know, fighting. It's going to be pretty cool. So very, very excited. I actually really got a Firefly vibe from the trailer a little bit, just kind of the, you know, the sort of dialogue that was going on in it. So did you get that at all? Or am I the only one who,
I have a sin to,
have you not seen Firefly?
I've not seen Firefly. And see, this is why Geek Improvement exists. It's these moments like, oh, you haven't seen this or you haven't read this. There's so much out there that, you know, either you miss because you were, you know, you're too young, or you just miss because there's so much, and, you know, there's things pass under your radar without you noticing. So this must be a geek homework item sometime in the future.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing is, there's only 13 episodes of the series. Really? And then there's the movie that follows it that kind of wraps the whole thing up. So it's very much worth your time. And it doesn't, like I said, I hadn't seen it until a couple months ago.
Now, is this like a miniseries or just like half an hour?
It was a TV show. Yeah, it was a TV show that was on Fox, I think. I can't remember exactly who it was. But it only lasted for 13 episodes before getting canceled.
It's a shame.
And had a huge cult following. But didn't do very well as far as ratings were concerned. Mm-hmm. So, and so then a couple years later, I believe, there was Joss Whedon eventually, and it was Joss Whedon created, right?
Yeah.
So he eventually made a movie to kind of wrap the whole thing up. So it's definitely good. It's kind of like if I had to describe it, it's sort of, what would you, like a Star Trek sort of thing, sort of, but instead of like this exploration ship, it's more of like a, it's more, they're like smugglers.
Oh yes.
Almost yes. I don't want to say Han Solo, but sort of, as far as like we smuggle stuff around and go from planet to planet and more experience the different planets stuff. And stuff. And it's the whole crew of the ship. So it's pretty cool.
Speaking of cult hits, Riff Tracks, have you ever heard of it?
I've heard of it. I think I've seen some of it. And this is again, if we're doing geek confessions at the same time, I've never really watched Riff Tracks all the way. Anything's too big from them.
Well, you know, that is something I corrected last week. Riff Tracks is the outgrowth of the TV show Mystery Science Theater 3000 that ran from, I believe, right, like 1988 to 99. And the TV show focused around taking cheesy, typically science fiction movies, like from the 60s or so, or 50s, and just riffing on them, you know, like when you're watching a movie with your friends and you go, hey, I bet that guy didn't expect that coming, or you make a joke or a crack or whatever. And essentially they record that, you see the movie playing on the screen and then you hear them with their added track. And Riff Tracks is the result of the TV show when the TV show was canceled, and then several years later they thought, hey, we can just do this online. So online you can buy audio tracks for a couple bucks, maybe like $3, $4, and you can also buy the movies with the audio tracks for a little bit more, and that way you don't have to sync them up. The one I saw last Wednesday was Godzilla versus Mothra.
Oh, geez. Now, is this similar to, I know both of us listen to a podcast called Film Sack.
Oh, yes.
Every once in a while, they do a live sack or a bonus sack where they like do the commentary track. Is that basically what this is?
I haven't listened to the live sack, but that has to be it. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. So they kind of do the same thing every once in a while. If you didn't know that, but
yeah.
By the way, if you don't listen to that podcast, filmsack.com. Oh my gosh, what are you doing?
Yeah. Even if you don't watch the movies that they talk about,
I never do.
Yeah.
I never do.
Same here. It's just so awesome. And the thing is that they're available on Netflix. So.
Yeah, they specifically only watch movies that are on Netflix so that people can, you know, do that sort of thing. So it's easy for people to access the movies.
And I have a new favorite superhero because of that Riff Tracks thing. His name is Jet Jaguar, and he even has a song. which goes a little like...
Oh, you've got it.
Oh, yeah, I've got it. Once the YouTube video loads, of course. And loading, loading.
Well, for all of you folks who do not speak Japanese, we've translated the Jet Jaguar fight song so that you can sing along. I'd tell you to follow the bouncing ball, but we don't have one. Roll that puppy, Cambot.
He jock it made of steel, eats sushi from a pail. Jet Jaguar, Jet Jaguar. He mother never really loved him. He crime fighting covers up a basic insecurity. And so it continues like that. It's just the movie was...
Oh my gosh.
The movie was pretty slow because obviously Godzilla, and even though there wasn't much Godzilla for like 80% or to 90% of the movie, it really picked up at the end, and it sold me on the idea of Riff Trax. So rifftrax.com, they have a lot of stuff, and in fact, they do current movies too. For example, this little bit from Captain America. Right, actually, this is the scene where the guy's bad dude's taking off his mask.
Smoking!
Because obviously he looks like the bad guy from The Mask.
Yeah, you know, when stuff like this happens in the movies, Germans tend to get their faces melted off.
Well, luckily, he's got a head start on that.
See, if cool stuff like this ever happened at Borders, maybe there would still be Borders.
Bootcase doors open. This is my favorite part. This is the part where Captain America, spoiler, if you haven't watched the movie, is... like right on top of like these weird German planes with and he, like they're one of the guys.
Oh, and they've got all the labels and stuff on them, like the names of the cities written on them.
I think so. And one of the guys like falls and like gets chopped into bits because of the
okay
one of the blades. Here's what one of my favorite parts.
Years afterwards, villagers below would talk of the day a delicious meat sauce rained from the sky.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Here's my thing, and I know there are a lot of people who love Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Riff Trax and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. This is a question. Maybe you can disagree with me or agree. I don't know.
Okay.
Do you think that in the age of podcasting that they can – that this is something that you are still willing to pay for, knowing that FilmSack does commentary episodes and that they do an episode every week? Films like FilmSack do that? Is it still something you're willing to pay for?
Definitely. However, I'll pay for it because I already know that the content that I'm going to get from Mystery Science Theater is going to be great. Not saying that FilmSack isn't. I mean, see, this is tough. And I'm saying this that I would buy some Mystery Science Theater stuff, not all of it. I wouldn't listen to it religiously like I do FilmSack. Now, I don't know if I had to make a choice between FilmSack and Mystery Science Theater and a whole bunch of other podcasts. I don't know how my money would be split. Obviously, I wouldn't be able to purchase all of them, but I think the donation model is really where it's at. The folks over at noagendashow.com, all their stuff is free. You can take their logo, take their shows, repost them, rebrand it, make t-shirts, make mugs, all sorts of stuff. And then just say, hey, use it like you want. And if you like the show, value for value, give us a donation.
So yeah, I've listened to that show before, and it's a pretty good model. I think as far as podcasting goes, you know, like you don't want to – you know, I just don't know if I particularly like in this age – selling your content. I think your content should be free, which is my only beef with it. It sounds like they have great stuff, right?
They do, yeah.
But I don't know if I want to pay to hear that. Maybe the movies.
Maybe the movies. Yeah, I agree. It's tough. It's something that I have to think about a lot. And I think, you know, that's all going to shake out in the future with cable companies realizing, oh, wait, cable isn't cable. We got to deliver these TV shows over the internet. And with folks like Leo Laporte at twit.tv making more independent, essentially TV shows online. So we'll see where that goes. But since we're on movies now, I guess we should talk about our next geek homework, which is Blade Runner. The movie Blade Runner, starring Harrison Ford in a dystopian future, is coming up on its 30th anniversary this year, actually. It's available on Amazon rent it for like $2-3. It was available on Netflix. It still is via DVD, but no longer via streaming. Have you ever watched Blade Runner before, Zach?
I actually have a copy of the director's cut.
Really?
But I've never watched it.
See, this is
perfect. I think I started to watch it a while ago, but I never actually did.
Oh, man. And I got to be honest, I got to come clean. I've only watched it once. Because it was one of those things where Blade Runner, I've heard about it a lot. I need to watch it. This is one of those things I need to do as a geek to say, right.
I mean, it did come out 3 years before I was born, which is... what, like almost 10 years before you were born, right?
I don't know.
It's 1982?
That's about... let's not show our age here.
All right. Anyway, yeah, so... it came out 3 years before I was born, but... anyway.
And a PSA here. If you are into The Lord of the Rings and are really, really anticipating The Hobbit movie, or at least the first part of it coming out this December... the sixth Hobbit production video is available now on the Facebooks. You can find a link to it in our show notes. And man, every time I watch one of these production videos, I get slightly depressed for two reasons. One, three reasons. Oh man, I want to watch this movie now. Why isn't it out yet? Two,
sorry.
Oh, no problem. Two, I need to become a filmmaker. How can I change my life to like go work on this movie like within today and tomorrow? And three, oh man, I wish Middle Earth was real. I want to go out there and fight some orcs, you know, feel a pommel of a sword in my hands and like beat an orc senseless. So
nice, man.
I don't know.
I love the instead of being excited for the movie, you just become depressed.
Honestly, I guess maybe depressed is a strong word, but slightly sad. Like if I watch The Lord of the Rings or some awesome sci-fi or fantasy movie or finish some awesome game like Fable or Skyrim or something, afterwards, like, man, I want to go on some epic adventure like that. Why can't I?
Yeah, I think the word you're looking for is pining.
Pining, yes. Pining with a side of depression, a side order.
There you go. Just to go back slightly, by the way, just to emphasize this to people. So geek homework for next week is Blade Runner. Watch it.
No, I already got stuff to talk about with that.
Yeah. So, and we have a voicemail line now, right?
Oh, we do. We do. It is.
So call us in or email us. podcastgeekimprovement.com or
65 ring geek. That's 65 RINGGEEK. If you call it, you'll hear my voice and it'll say leave a message after the tone, and you can leave us a message and we'll play it right here on the podcast. We'll answer questions, take requests for songs and whatnot.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff. And also,
comments too.
If you have a smartphone and you have an app that will do a voice recording or a voice memo, you can also just email us those and we can play them as well. So either way, it works for us.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your thoughts on Blade Runner or the show in general.
Yeah, keep it short though. We don't want to have to stay here for 10 minutes listening, devoting it to your voicemail either. But we're looking for feedback. We really want this geek homework thing to be about you guys also telling us what you thought, and maybe you guys asking us questions about certain things with our impressions and so on. So,
and also
that's the whole point behind it.
Yeah, and if we're going to make this a weekly thing, and if you have ideas for geek homework, something that every geek should play, read, watch, or do, just let us know. We'd be happy to feature it.
Indeed.
Web Geek.
Okay, so the web. Something that we found last week, actually I found via Twitter, at Captain Primate, tweeted it out, and it's called BookType. Sourcefabric.org/en/booktype, or you can check it out in the show notes. It's essentially a collaborative tool to write books. So you sign into this website, and you can create chapters, and you just you write the book out and you can format it in HTML, and then you can have version control, like, okay, I like this version, but I want to change it differently and I want to keep this copy, and you can have other people working it too. They can do edits, they can add their own chapters. And then once you're all done with this book, you can export it. You can export it to, PDF, to ebooks, to iPad formats, to even, like, resize it correctly for printing. So if you have a comic book that you're trying to make, you can upload the images, put it up there, and it'll format it in the comic book size, you know, for the page size. And then you can send it to print automatically whenever somebody orders this for you.
Oh, so it's actually you can actually create a store after everything's said and done as well.
Not exactly a store, but it'll pump out the final file for you.
Oh, okay. And then that would be something that you would submit to Lulu or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And okay, this is really cool.
I believe it has auto submission to Lulu. Now, downloading it and installing it on your computer is a bit tricky. You should, if you have some experience with Python and some like basic terminal stuff or like command line things like CDing and LSing, like going into files and listing, you know, what's there and running scripts, you should be okay, because they've got some pretty decent instructions on there. But if you just want to check it out, they've got a demo on the site. You can log in and create an account, and you can actually create books on the demo. However, the books you create there have to be open source, and they also have like a pro license. So if you pay them a bit, they'll let you use your own like private repository of book type already working in their cloud.
Cool. This looks pretty good. I don't know if I necessarily would have any use for it, but I like it nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, if people are into writing fan fiction or fantasy of their own or sci-fi, definitely check it out, because it's not only great for collaborative editing, but if you just want to have a way to organize it and then push it out to different formats, it's something you should definitely check out.
Yeah, absolutely. So is that sourcefabric.org/en/booktype?
Yep, that's it.
Sweet. Or, of course, podcast.geekimprovement.com. We got a linky there as well.
I thought you were just shamelessly plugging the show, but I mean, please keep doing that.
Plug away on our show.
Yeah,
plug our own show. It's kind of redundant, actually, because they've already found the show.
That's true.
Anyway,
wasting valuable time.
Comic Geek.
So, Gotham by Gaslight. This is Comic Geek / video games, and we got to figure out how to mash up these kind of bumpers together. But yeah, this is Gotham by Gaslight. It's apparently a Batman video game that will never see the light of day except for on a tech demo that was released to the YouTubes.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. This was via, at least where I found it, was joystick.com. They had I think this was under development and it got canned, and we got something like, I'm pretty sure that we get, it was either Gotham or Arkham Asylum or Arkham City that we got instead, which I've been playing through Arkham City right now. And dude, Arkham City, have you played that?
I played the very first 20 minutes and then my friend had to leave. So
yeah, Arkham City is freaking great. One of the best games of last year, I believe.
He did spoil the end for me, and it's going to be good for him.
Oh good. Don't spoil it for me. But this one, it was, and I added this one, like, it's a cool enough concept to begin with, but I added it because I know you're a huge fan of the steampunk.
This was
like, takes place in like Jack the Ripper time, like total steampunk. And like, if you can imagine a steampunk Batman. In fact, here we go. I don't know if you can see this in the chat. I'll put it in the Skype chat here, which is great for radio. But there's like an icon of like the Batman logo that is like just like total steampunk gears sort of thing, right? Oh
man, I didn't see that.
A video.
Wow.
Isn't that great? Yeah, so it's it was going to be like a steampunk Batman sort of game. Got canned, which I think probably was the right move in the end, but it still would have been great. Like just watching this, it's like an old, like, almost like Victorian style era, you know, like steampunk era.
And I think it would have only been the right move because it would have conflicted with Arkham Asylum and possibly Arkham City, depending on when it came out. But I mean, this, I would play this, like, just schedule it differently. I mean, supposedly, according to one of the developers or someone who claimed to be a developer, they had working items, working levels, also working combat, and the video essentially shows fabulous cape graphics. You know, Batman jumping around.
That's pretty much what it is. Yeah.
And somehow he jumps like two stories onto like this roof without any assistance. But I would kill for a Batman with steampunk gadgets. In fact, it's based on a comic, a one-off called Gotham by Gaslight. And something
I should actually look that up. I haven't read that.
It's by Mark Mignola, at least in part, dude who creator of Hellboy, Mike Mignola, I think. He also did another comic, which I actually read, called Legends of the Dark Knight Sanctum. And it's a very paranormal-like Batman story. He's in this graveyard, and he falls into this grave, and he fights these demons and all this kinds of stuff. And this guy was like trying to like get in his mind or whatever, and it turns out it was a dream, or was it afterward? And it's really atmospheric in both this story-wise and the art. It's great stuff. That's actually another offshoot of me trying to like expand my geek knowledge. I went into a comic book shop a year ago, and it's like, okay, I want to buy a Batman comic. Now, which one? And the guy pulls out this one. He's like, this, you will not be disappointed. And indeed, I was not. So if you can find it, Legends of the Dark Knight Sanctum. Awesome. Awesome.
Right on. This Gotham by Gaslight, apparently it was published in freaking 1989. Who knew? I had never heard of it before.
Yeah, it was just one. It was a one-off, yeah.
Yeah, it was just a one-off little thing. But it reminds me of something that Marvel did not too long ago where they had a whole series that was the Noir series. And in fact, if you remember, Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions was a game that just not too long ago came out. But Spider-Man Noir was one of the Spider-Men that you could play as. And it wasn't steampunk. It was more of like a noir sort of setting, like New York in the 20s or 30s or whatever. And it was great. Like that, like the whole style of it was really cool. Similar sort of thing. I love this sort of thing where you take the hero that you love and you throw them in a different era, you know, and it becomes like a period piece sort of thing. Very, I love that kind of stuff.
Now I can't get the image of Spider-Man sitting in a bar somewhere in the 1920s going, she was beautiful. I knew that moment when she gave me that upside down kiss.
Yeah.
You know, putting a cigarette down.
She was a good dame. it was good too, because like, what's his name? Green Goblin was like he was a carny in there, and he was
cool.
Totally like just this huge like goblin carny guy, and the Vulture was a carny, and he was more of like he was almost like a cannibal, just kind of a freaky guy with his cloak or trench coat or whatever that he wore was just kind of shaped like feathers, kind of because it was shredded and stuff like that. But that was the Vulture, and it was good. So okay. If you haven't read that Spider-Man Noir, it was a limited series, so pretty cool.
Cool stuff. I have a feeling that'll be a geek homework.
It was good.
Gadget Geek.
So on Sunday evening, I believe it was Sunday evening, Adobe flipped the switch, or maybe Apple did, a little too early on their Photoshop Touch for iPad. Some people snagged it, but then on Monday it was officially released, and Zach took to playing with it.
I did. Now, this was, just for clarification, I don't have a list of all the tablets that it was released for, but it wasn't just for iPad, I don't think.
Okay.
I think that I'm not entirely sure. Don't quote me on that.
No.
I do know that it's iPad 2 only, though. And it's Photoshop for the iPad. Have you looked at any of the stuff for it, or have you?
I've seen some of the products. In fact, I was part of a product.
I forgot about that. Yeah, so I sat down and started doing things. It's really great for what most people are going to need it for. So like just using, how much is Photoshop right now? I'm going to quickly look it up.
Oh, that's because a lot.
Like the latest Photoshop is pretty freaking expensive.
Well,
right?
Photoshop Elements is probably like $90. But the
on the Mac App Store, I think it's like $80.
But like CS5 Elements is several hundred dollars. What, maybe like $299?
Yeah, it's expensive, right? So Photoshop Touch is $10 on the App Store. And so I went to it thinking, okay, what sort of things can I do with this? What sort of things can't I do with it? Because you expect that it's going to be a pretty nerfed version, right? A pretty watered down version of Photoshop. And I was surprised at how much I could do in that app. They've got full support of layers, lots of things, you know, there's
and the magic wand
like
stuff is
lots of
cool.
Yeah. And cutting things out. In fact, there's a way of cutting people out of pictures in this that I don't even think is in CS5. So essentially what you do is, so for example, you have a picture like that picture that I took of you, right? Where I had a picture of you and I had I just wanted your face. So basically what you do is you start out saying by drawing, there's a keep and a remove tab on this particular tool. So you click keep and then you scribble over the part. You don't have to be really precise. Scribble over the part of the picture that you want to keep. Then you click the remove and you kind of just draw around the part that you want to keep. Mm-hmm. And then you just hit the button. And it selected your face.
That is
like just
cool. And
magically.
And it does it quite well because Zach pasted my face onto a picture, I believe, of his son.
Yeah, it was a picture of my son wearing like my Scribble Knots hat that I had.
What that was. I thought it was like a one piece jammy or.
Yeah, I got that like weird Scribble Knots beanie thing when I pre-ordered Scribble Knots way back in the day. So it's like that big weird rooster hat with headphones or something on it.
Got the perfect look on my face. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the look on your face just made it perfect. But the thing was that was super easy to do. Right. And
how long do you think it would,
like, there are a lot of tools like refine the edge around it. So after it picks it, then you can draw around the edge. You're like, that edge isn't very good. So you do the refine edge tool and you just kind of just draw over it. And it's like, that wasn't quite right. Okay. We'll do it again, and it made it perfect. So like you can actually get like the individual hairs of somebody's head, you know, and it'll highlight them.
So how long did it take you to make one of those pictures?
To take that picture, I'd say no more than 10 minutes.
Man.
Not even close to 10. I'd say 5.
Now, would you prefer making that picture on the desktop or the iPad?
I would say the iPad.
Wow.
Actually, there are certain things that you can't do, like it doesn't really support a lot of the blending options that Photoshop does. If you don't know what blending options are, there's an option where you can take everything in a certain layer and make it black, for example, right? Or do a drop shadow and it'll take that layer and it will create a shadow behind it and things like that. A lot of little tools like that are not there, but there's also a ton of really good, just fun effects that you can add yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say for somebody who's not a super professional, this is all you're ever going to need from Photoshop. You know, it's incredible. And for $10, it's like, as soon as there's a video online, I think it's on youtube.com/Photoshop. And they kind of run you through it. I'll just do this and make sure.
Dropbox integration.
Hello. That was okay. Sorry. You didn't hear that. I don't know. I don't think there's Dropbox support. That was my other big beef, was that, it's like from your camera roll, but it's kind of janky how it gets from your camera roll and things like that.
And we'll link the picture that Zach.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe have a picture as the show notes or whatever. But here's the biggest, probably the biggest limitation of the app overall is the size of the file that you can make. You can only make it 1600 by 1600.
That's the
maximum size. So for professionals, that's not going to be very, very good, right? So
yeah. And just a hunch, I'm betting they did that because the processing power it would take to punch the numbers on some of those.
And I think too, they also have to prevent them from cannibalizing themselves too much, right?
You know? So you're probably right. That probably is a bigger reason why, a bigger motivation to do that than just the processing power.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing, my other problem with that too is, come with the rumors of the iPad 3 that are coming out, 1600 by 1600 isn't even the resolution of the rumored iPad 3. Right? Yeah, it's actually less than the resolution of that. So
there'll probably be an update.
There probably will be. Or there, aside from that, there may be an in-app purchase saying, okay, you can pay $5 and get increased resolution or something.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if I'd pay for. For like podcasters, for example, though, I mean, your cover art for a podcast is 600 by 600. So you could make your cover art in there, no problem. Right. And you could make yourself a wallpaper for your desktop computer.
Really easy, yeah.
Pretty reasonably as well. So, and it's technically, it's bigger than HD resolution as well, I guess. So.
So $10 and it gets Zach's seal of approval.
Yes, absolutely. If you're into that at all. Another one that's free but has an in-app purchase by Adobe as well is called Adobe Ideas. That's been out for a while. That's more of a drawing app. It does vector graphics and things like that that you can use. So it's more just for drawing though. And I kind of found after a while that I'm going to use both of them to kind of complement each other. I can't maybe do my drawing in Adobe Ideas and then import it into Photoshop. And the thing is too, is if you have the latest version of Photoshop, it will support, you can export your Photoshop file from the iPad into CS5 with like an actual Photoshop file.
The PSD, yeah.
Yeah, and PSD, I think it's actually a PSDX. Huh. Okay. Which why you have to have the latest version. But then it still keeps all of your layer information and all that kind of stuff. So then you could continue to add on it at that point. So,
and a quick note about design programs. Adobe, even if you're a student, they still charge you a whole bunch of money.
Yeah, they do. They spend, they charge a ton.
However, though, if you're into 3D modeling, Autodesk is fantastic. If you're a student, you just go to autodesk.com. I'm sure if you type in Autodesk and then student into the Googles, you'll find their student page. And if you have, if you're a student at an institution, at a university or college, and you have a college email, you can plug it into their website and they will give you licenses to all of their software, both Mac and PC, for 4 years.
What?
Yes. So that
I had no idea.
Maya, that is amazing. Is, everything like Mudbox, every 3D model.
Wow!
And it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at this right now. That's amazing. I had no idea. I think I might do that. Okay, not that I need another thing that I need to like sit and try and figure out how to do. especially since I don't really have any experience with 3D modeling at all, but that's another thing that I've been interested in tinkering with. But
Google SketchUp is really nice. It's a really nice entry to 3D modeling.
Google TouchUp, is that what that was?
Google SketchUp.
SketchUp, that's what I meant. Yeah, cool. Right on, man. That's so much cool stuff. Like as far as like being, if you're like a creative type, now is such a cool time to be alive. You know what I mean? Like look at Kickstarter and look at like all of those sorts of things. If you have an idea, you can go out onto the internet and I mean, Kickstarter is just one way that if you needed to fund it, but there's just so much way, even just with this podcast in general, right? Podcasting is a perfect example. Yeah. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, if you were to say, I am going to reach a global audience by sitting down at my computer and recording my voice for an hour,
people would have laughed.
Yeah, it wasn't even possible back then, right? So. Yeah.
So moving on to You Might Be a Geek If, which we do need a bumper for, this week's, I was driving behind a pickup truck, and in said pickup truck was, you know, one of those machines where they have like the stacker things, like it's an arcade machine and it has like three or four blocks, like digital blocks, and then you got to stack them on top and like build them. And if you get to like the top of the pyramid, you get to choose one of the prizes.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a PSP in there. I thought, I don't have a PSP, and I'm driving right behind this truck. And normally, when there's a truck with something in the back, whether it's a ladder, 2x4s, PVC pipes, or anything that like could conceivably come loose, including this thing, I tend to think, okay, I'll move to the other lane, and then move back to the other lane when I'm clear of this truck. I don't want this thing to like fall out and hit me. But then I thought to myself, well, I don't have to move, because if this thing falls down and I survive, I might get a PSP out of the deal. That was just...
Oh, I don't know. I might destroy my car, but man, I could get a PSP.
That'd that was awesome. A serious moment for a serious thought for a second there. And then I figured, yeah, I should move.
Then you wish, man, I really wish I had like a grappling hook or some really precise, like a suction cup with an arrow or something, you know. That's awesome.
So yeah, that was my, I was like, oh man, did I really just have that thought? Yeah.
That's great. I actually, as we were saying, I know before the show I said I didn't have one, but now that I think about it, I recently got back into my 3DS, which I've had for a while. When I first bought it, I was like, meh, this thing's kind of, it's okay sort of thing. But then over the weekend, I dusted it off a little bit. I've been dusting it off more and more. Yep. But I bought Mario Kart 7, which was it's a really fun game. Do you have that, by the way?
No, I need to buy it, though, because
it's the best. It is the first time that I've ever felt like I'm playing a console version of Mario Kart on a handheld.
Yeah, because Mario Kart DS,
it's great.
My favorite game on the DS.
Yeah, it's great. I like it. And a lot of people said that they hated Double Dash, but that was my favorite.
I liked it a lot, especially the multiplayer.
I loved Double Dash, but you know, like the two people on the cars. But anyway, this is like the first time that I've had that much fun with Mario Kart since then.
Man,
so I didn't really like the Wii version. That's just me.
I liked it. I even liked the Wii Motion controls.
Yeah, I wasn't too. I didn't really like the Wii overall as a system.
Yeah, I too much. I had serious disappointment.
Yeah.
I was in denial for a while there.
Anyways, this is all leading up to the fact that I've dusted my 3DS off. And so I'm like, you know what? I really want to know, because I think it was Roger from VG Tribune that I saw on Twitter say, man, you know, I love my school because I get so many street passes when I go, you know, back and forth from class. It fills up my whole 3DS and I have to go and check them all off so I can get more. And I was like, oh, I should go take mine to school and see if I get any street passes. So I'm just thinking to myself, like, okay, I'm like a 26, 27, almost 27-year-old guy, you know, getting his major in psychology, going to be doing his master's in neuroscience in the fall. And I'm stashing my 3DS in my backpack to see if I can get street passes so that I can, like, you know. I'm just like, this is ridiculous. But I just want to do it. And I'm pretty sure that either I wasn't at the school at the right place at the right time, or I am in like one of the least geek-centric schools around. Like, I think I've had two street passes in like a week of taking my 3DS to school, which is kind of sad. So, I don't know.
You know, I need to like try that at my school. I think I did it once and no success, but I need to do it just like as an informal poll to see, all right, I went to this class and I didn't get any, so there aren't many Nintendo geeks in there. Maybe if I can take an informal poll and find out how many Nintendo geeks there are in each class. But
there you go. And I'm kind of thinking too, like, most of my classes are near the end of the day. They're more evening classes almost, and yeah, so there's not a lot of people anyways. So I may be giving the University of Lethbridge a bad rap here, but.
And also, you know, I would imagine, you know, night classes skew towards older folks and whatnot.
Exactly, yeah. So who knows? But I've had a few, and I'm like, yes, I got awesome. So
have you made friends with any of the folks? Did you like come back and talk to them or?
No, I haven't like seen. I've seen two people, and it was one time each, and I have no idea who they were. Like, I'm sure it was just like because I just put it in my backpack, and then like when I get home at the end of the day, I'm like, hey, I got some street passes, sweet. You know, I don't know. It's such a silly feature. Like, what a weird feature. It seems like something that's probably a little bit more
suited to urban areas in like Japan.
To urban areas and especially Japan. You know, it's where it's so crowded over there.
Dense population.
So many people. So, and it's very popular over there. So.
And we actually have another You Might Be a Geek If, this time from Terry, our resident fantasy expert. He sent an email, and he did it mostly over instant messaging. He told me that he was listening. Well, first of all, have you heard of fantasy metal before?
No.
It's a
this like a thrill? That's what I think when I said fantasy metal. I don't know.
It's a genre of metal music that is fantasy-based. You know, all the songs are geared towards like fantasy themes and whatnot. And he was listening to a song by a band called Manowar, which is a fantasy metal band. And he was singing along to the to the lyrics. And then when he's done with the song, he realizes, wait, I just pledged my soul to Odin.
Uh-oh. And then I just, for some reason, as soon as he said that, I imagined like, totally like Monty Python style, like the hand of God come down from heaven and Odin like, no take backsies or something like that.
I know that part of him, part of him probably was like, uh-oh. And then the other part, probably the larger part was, wow, that's cool.
That's awesome. Right on.
I'm sure that's what happened. That's anyway. Awesome. The Bay Area Renaissance Festival, the Bay Area being the Tampa Bay Area in this case, is going on this weekend. It's going on until April 1st, I believe, April something. And I'm going this weekend, which is going to be the March 3rd. And so if you're going to be there, please tweet at me, at Alexis Santos, or Geek Improvement, at Geek Improvement on Twitter. Or Zach, actually, let's do that right now. Zach, where can we find you on Twitter?
It's just Zach Erickson, ZACERICKSON.
So yeah, if you'd like to reach out to us, say, hey, look, we're here at the Tampa Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Give us a shout out. And of
you
course,
will be anyway. I'm nowhere near there. To clarify, I won't be in the Bay Area.
You'll be there in spirit.
I will be. I'll be looking forward to your pictures and stuff. So.
Oh yeah, lots of pictures, lots of video, full report coming. And if you'd like to send us feedback about how we're doing, if you have anything geeky to share, any ideas, or just, you know, lonely want to talk, you can call us at 65-RING-GEEK. That's 65-RING-GEEK. You can tweet at us or email us at podcast@geekimprovement.com. So I had a lot of fun with this episode. Not that I didn't have fun with the other two so far, but I'm really digging this Geek Improvement podcast thing.
I think so. I'm thinking we're getting better. We're hitting our stride a little bit. Yeah, absolutely. Totally. I love doing this. And it's something, it's funny because when I start a podcast, I'm like, oh man, I'm going to have to really make sure that I'm there, you know, that we make it like an every week sort of deal. And it's kind of hard to do this one. I'm like, oh no. This is something I'm making time for. This is something I'm excited to do every week. It's not going to be hard to do it. Unless life specifically tells me no way, then...
You've got a doctor's appointment at 8 p.m.
Exactly. You know, like, it's not going to happen, first of all. But, like, it's just something I look forward to every week, so...
Amen. And not only are we pumped for the podcast, but we're pumped for the website, too, which, to clarify, just shooting this out there, it's not a blog. It's... Just wait till we see you. Wait till you see what we have in store for you. And
if you had to compare it to something, I don't want to put you on the spot. If you're not willing to answer this, then that's fine too. If you're gonna pull a Blizzard and say we're not, it'll be ready when it's ready, and you'll see when you see it.
I'll
comment on rumors and speculation or whatever.
I'll pull a Blizzard.
All right.
For the meantime, enjoy the podcast and please share it with your friends, fellow geeks. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Sean Buckley is getting a lot of moments of silence.
Yeah, he is.
He's racking him up.
Rightfully so. I mean, like, it is Sean Buckley after all.
Lots of tickets, like at the arcade, gonna get a big teddy bear. Okay, three.
What? <don't know>. This is so random.
Hello and welcome to the official podcast of some.
Yes.
That's
beautiful.
Let's try that.
I think
one
that's
again.
That's going to make the blooper reel, I think.
Yep.
We're going to need a blooper reel if we don't have one already. That's perfect. I probably am going to wake my child up with my hyena laughter as well.
Oh, no. Well,
I just realized. Sorry. Well,
at least
okay.
The hyenas aren't eating him. That's always a good thing.
That is true.
Huzzah!